Thanksgiving is all about the food and the traditional feast that includes turkey, potatoes, cranberries, and, of course, pie. I'm NHPR reporter Amanda Loader, and in the next few minutes, we're going to travel around the state to hear from some New Hampshire producers of those traditional holiday fixings. We begin near the seacoast in Lee, where two small-scale turkey farmers are raising Narragansett turkeys. Shannon Dooling has our story.
Jamie and Jake Farrell are the first to admit that they're a bit green when it comes to bringing up turkeys. But for these Durham-raised brothers, that seems to be part of the allure.
The sounds that come out of these birds are hilarious.
Jamie crafted the plan last spring.
The idea was to feed ourselves and some neighbors and friends and see where it went.
And his brother Jake, having raised chickens himself and therefore being the family poultry expert, jumped at the opportunity.
We started building a field in March last year, and that was for a feed for the turkeys, essentially, and for some, you know, vegetables and such for us as well.
And in that field, on this small plot of land in Lee, they planted corn, buckwheat, oats, pumpkins, melons, and zucchini, growing the majority of feed needed for 18 Narragansett turkeys right in their own backyard. The past 7 months provided plenty of lessons and a few steep learning curves. Not least of which, how to clip a turkey's wings.
See how they're kind of lopsided when they fly? It's because we cut only the right wing. So they're like, go.
But did they ever really feel over their heads?
Just when they wake up and there's turkeys all over the lawn. You know? God, we gotta go get them.
Sitting on our cars and just
everywhere. Like they're in the chicken coop, they're in the guineas, they're everywhere, they're on the roof. I'm like, oh my God, what are we gonna do with all these turkeys?
At least a dozen or so of those turkeys will be feeding friends and family this Thanksgiving, fulfilling the Farrell brothers' original wish set back in March. Next year, we'll likely see more turkeys and possibly a venture into pig farming. For NHPR, I'm Shannon Dooling.
For many people, Thanksgiving dinner is more about the side dishes than the actual bird. A bowl of mashed potatoes will be right next to the turkey on most dinner tables tonight. And New Hampshire lays claim to the first potato in North America, as Emily Corwin explains.
The New World's first potato was harvested in Derry, New Hampshire. Historians say it grew in the earth beneath what is now the state's largest apartment complex. Robert Frost's book of poems, West Running Brook, describes the stream that fed that land almost 300 years ago. The brook still flows between apartment units today. This is sacred ground when it comes to the potato.
Where you're standing right now, this was the common field. And so this is where they planted that first crop.
That's Rick Holmes, a local historian. Holmes has a big white beard and walks with a wooden cane. He says his predecessors moved to Derry from Northern Ireland in the 1720s, just a few years after the town was founded.
So you have to suspend reality and look at this place as it was in 1719. Probably about 200 Scots who were living in Ireland immigrated here. And that was the first real Ulster Scot colony in America. They came to this area. They built all of their homes along this street out here, which is Londonderry Turnpike now.
After the settlers arrived in Nutfield, that's what Derry was called back then, they lived on only eel, which they caught 10 miles away in the Merrimack River. Meanwhile, they were clearing and planting the common field. They were led by Reverend James McGregor.
And you have to roll your eye when you say McGregor. He brought with him a sack of seed potatoes. And that he planted here in the spring of 1719, and that was the start of the potato industry in America.
Holmes says one early Massachusetts colonist did try to plant a potato before the New Hampshire settlers did. It didn't go very well.
He ate the tops of the potatoes, the green part, the plant that was growing above the surface, threw away all the roots, not knowing that that was the good part. But our people, our good Scotch-Irish, knew exactly what to do with them and how to eat them. And I guess that settles it. Thank you.
New Hampshire's claim to the first potato has been substantiated by the U.S. Potato Board and the USDA. The Potato Board says it was 117 years later that Christian missionaries brought the potato from New England to Idaho. For NHPR, I'm Emily Corwin.
It wouldn't be Thanksgiving without the cranberry sauce. Sam Evans Brown tells us how adventurous New Hampshire residents can opt out of the can-shaped cranberry cylinder by tromping out into their local bog.
Laconia resident Mark Johnson has lost his voice, but not his enthusiasm for picking wild cranberries in the lakes region.
Finding cranberries is not always easy. You'll look out there and you'll, as I say, you'll walk and you'll find this mossy bog, and you're looking and looking and you just can't see cranberries, and then you'll spot the little stems with the tiny leaves on them, and you know you're getting there, and then lo and behold, they just start to appear. But if you just take them right, because we just take them and put them in the freezer anyway, you can see there's still sphagnum moss in there.
That's sphagnum moss that Johnson just found in his berries. It's where wild cranberries grow in New Hampshire, in a floating mat of spongy moss that soaks up 16 to 26 times its weight in water.
It looks like 70s shag carpeting. And you know, the bog just quakes as you walk, and you feel like you're barely suspended above water.
American cranberries can be found in these bogs from North Carolina to southern Canada, and from Maine to Minnesota.
I've just thrown some cranberries in. Now those will boil, and then I'll put in some oatmeal.
Very hard. This is a very hearty breakfast, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. I bet anybody listening could probably find a likely bog within a half mile of their house.
If they knew what to look for, I think that's the key. And you want to be careful telling people what to look for, I suppose, because
well,
you know there
know.
Aren't enough cranberries for everybody.
Well, there may be. Who knows? I mean, it's the odd person who's going to don rubber boots, wade out through mucky water to clamber onto a cranberry bog.
At $1.50 a pound, don't calculate how much you're making an hour picking wild cranberries. Like Johnson says, it's about something else.
Oh, you know, just discovering a new place, being out there with a few friends, and as soon as you're away from, you may be a bog along the road, but you get out there 100 yards and you figure you're standing on a bog that started to form soon after the Ice Age left, so 12,000 years ago, you're standing on a bog. And who knows how deep that would be, and who knows what kind of things are buried in it. That's what I love. You're out there, and it's just here. You're in a different world than that, and combined with friends who enjoy that sort of thing. I don't think it gets much better than as far as a day out.
For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans Brown.
And finally, many of us will finish off the meal with a slice of pumpkin pie, though it might be the one part of the meal many cooks don't prepare themselves. Todd Bookman stopped by one bustling bakery in Concord where the pies are stacked high.
My name's Allison Ladman. I'm the owner. A little crazy right now.
Ladman is cranking out pies, really nice-looking pies, at the Crust and Crumb Bakery on Main Street in Concord.
We're doing pumpkin apple crumble, cranberry apple streusel, which has a different kind of topping, a forest berry crumb, which is our normal best-seller pie.
Ladman's got four employees in the small kitchen helping her. Blenders are blending, mixers are mixing. Phoebe Van Gilder is tasked with nutmeg.
This is pumpkin pie, so there's cinnamon and flour and nutmeg and ginger and cloves and eggs and milk and cream and pumpkin, of course. So,
the Crust and Crumb has 112 pie orders to fill, plus rolls, loaves of bread, and other sweets.
This is 5 pounds of butter. This is for making whoopie pie frosting.
Customers who didn't pre-order also trickle in.
I'm not baking because I'm not a good baker, so I'm out to find the treat. And then these pies look excellent here, so I'm going to buy one of these.
That's Beverly. She asked me to not use her last name. The reason, at Thanksgiving dinner, she's going to try to pass off the pie as homemade.
I don't want my guests to know that I bought my pie. Thank you. Go away. Go away now. Good. Thank you.
Don't worry, Bev. Your secret is safe with us. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.